This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson.
AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I mean, guys, the perfect song to start off our show. My favorite one of the night, for sure. Well, hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to another Glee After Show.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, we have a special guest. Just want to say hi, JJ. You just kind of did.
Hello again.
Yes. Yeah, there we go. We're so excited to have you. And we'll get into everything about your character, Myron, in a few minutes here. But we are streaming live on YouTube today. YouTube.com, AfterBuzz TV. And on SoundCloud and iTunes, you can always find us. Rate, comment, let us know what you're thinking. We want to hear from you. What were your favorite numbers that from Friday night? All that good stuff. Use the hashtag ABTVGlee, and we'll be checking it all hour long.
Woo!
Woo! Yes. Exactly. And I'm Stephanie Wanger, and you can find me on Twitter at Stephanie Wanger.
I'm Hannah Pritchard, and you can follow me on Twitter at The Hot Shot Dude.
Hey, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at Serafini TV.
Hi, guys. I'm Roxy Stryer, and you can follow me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
And JJ, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is JJ Tota. Twitter is JJ Tota, and Facebook as well is JJ Tota. So go follow me.
Yeah.
We can stay connected.
So excited. Yes. I mean, that's the whole point of this.
I just have to say my first comment is you haven't bullied us at all yet, so you can't be quite like your
not
character.
Yet though. No,
oh,
yet.
A couple more minutes.
I was like maybe a little bit more. Don't get used to this. No, just kidding. I'm a nice human.
I know,
America.
So nice, and yeah. We're so happy to have you here and hanging out. We want to get all your like behind the scenes stories and scoop, and we'll have a special segment about you a little later on in our show. But let's talk about one of the major plot points first of the episode, which was, of course, the Warblers and New Directions. Actions unite in one. I'm going to call them super team, guys.
Yeah,
super team.
Yeah. Unfortunate for the Warblers, they lost Dalton. So I think that was the
burned down to the ground.
Yeah, I think that was Glee's quick way of saying we're never going to go back there again.
Yeah, I mean that was like we destroyed the set. Sorry, guys. Like we're done with that.
Because I watched the show from the beginning, so I got the script when I was done shooting the first day. And they're like, oh, we have the full script for you. I'm like, oh, cool. So I was reading it. I was like, no, don't think Adam Bates burned down. I was really sad about it. I was like, well, that sucks.
Well, it's like one chapter.
Warbler scene.
Yeah, one chapter of the show, done.
I guess, I mean, all chapters are closing.
I mean, closing. Mm-hmm. We have two more episodes, which is crazy to think about.
Two more, and then the big finale, which is like, a huge
right
episode.
It's a 2-hour crazy like event,
so
I can't wait for
we it's have like a lot the bachelor
of,
event
we have a lot of puns that we use about the New Directions because now that's an old direction or whatever, so I think this is called The Last Direction because
I think this is true
and that kind of makes me cry a little bit.
I know everybody was so sad on the last day and everybody was crying and our characters weren't supposed to cry, but like they were all crying, all the original cast. And so we looked so mean on camera. Because we were like, and they were all like, ah! And so, so I felt bad. Like, but it's a sad thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's sad for, I mean, you said you've watched from the beginning. So
all the fans.
Exactly. All the fans who have been through the show for 6 years. It does feel like that final chapter. Yeah. And I do wonder if they thought early on that they were going to combine the Warblers and New Directions, or is this something that came about?
Just kind of threw together there.
I don't know. We got our scripts very last minute, so they were trying to get it all done, but I'm sure, I mean, Ryan Murphy's the creator, and he has everything planned. So I'm sure he knew how to wrap it up, but I don't think he knew that they were going to join together from the beginning. I think when they were planning season six, although, you know, writers and producers come together, and they just kind of think about what's going to happen.
Yeah. It does put a nice bow on it, because they've been so competitive with each other. If they remain together and they're all in their red blazers, which, by the way, I love.
I love those.
Yes, they're really cool. I got to take it home. At the
really?
End. Yeah. I did. Like, on the last day, I should have. Oh, you should have told me. No, but on the last day of shooting, I, like, walked out in my wardrobe for that scene. I was like, bye, guys. Nice working with you. See you at the wrap party. And I literally walked out, like, with it. So I have these shoes from Glee. So then I was like, I came in the next day in the wardrobe lady's like, take anything you want. I'm like, I'll take that. Okay, bye. Thank you. And then I just, like, ran off the Paramount lot.
Were those your favorite items from your time at Glee, or did you want to steal something else?
No. I was just very open with the wardrobe lady. I said, look, lady, I don't got a lot of clothes going on right now. You know what I mean? Seasons are changing. Good. I'm going to need it. I worked with you for 2 months. Can you please? But and
I mean, it's especially fitted to you, I would imagine, the blazer. So, like, of course.
They were really, really nice. No, but if they didn't let me, I would have just been like, okay, cool. I'll just save up, like, 9 months of my rent.
Yeah.
So do you have a bunch of sequin jackets now?
I didn't take home any sequin stuff, but I should have, though. But that stuff was made very intricately by this really nice Armenian man in Burbank.
Oh, wow.
It sounds very random. But no, they did. No, I didn't take home any sequin. I took home, like, normal stuff that I could probably, like, wear to events and stuff. Yeah. But they're still extravagant.
So crazy, the little things I would never think of.
Right.
Yeah. Go somewhere special. But going back to what we were just talking about, I think that the main reason that Vocal Adrenaline is off to the side now is because we are trying to team up the Warblers with New Directions and crush Vocal Adrenaline.
Yeah.
They have been our competition from day one, and they were always, we kind of were frenemies with the Warblers. We've hated Vocal Adrenaline.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is just making it very clear cut who we are on the team with and who we are not.
And not just Vocal Adrenaline, but, like, this whole season six is about unity. And, like, all the writers and stuff, they made it very clear that it's all about us coming together. So I think they just wanted to show that they can throw anything in the Glee Club's way. And we didn't have enough people to begin with. So
exactly.
I feel like us coming together is not just to rebel against one group, but just to see how good we can do once we're working really hard.
Yeah.
It also will allow you in the competition because you didn't have the right number of people. So,
now
they do.
Yeah, now they do.
And if we win sectionals, like they said, and the thing my character announced, if we don't win sectionals, the Glee Club is donezo. Everything's all arts programs will be shut down.
I can't imagine. I know that you obviously can't comment on this, but I can't imagine that's where Ryan Murphy's taking it. Like, the end of Glee, that would be the saddest end of Glee. Yeah.
Stop it. Don't shrug your shoulders.
I don't know, though. It kind of makes sense either way. So there are two options. Either they win or they lose. You know,
right.
Those are the two options. If they win, then it's because they want to leave on a happy note and show that Glee Club will be around forever and that people can live on past this generation. Or if we lose, it's like, this is the end of Glee Club, and this is the end of the TV show, and it was great while it lasted, but now we're done.
That sounds so sad.
Yeah.
That makes me want to cry.
That's bittersweet, and I feel like...
continue, I'm sorry.
I feel like Glee is the show to end on a happier note, because that's just too sad. We don't want Glee Club to lose and end.
We are very shocking, though, so...
Yeah. Teach us something at the end,
but
it may happen.
But it could end very happy, but it also could end very sad, so I'm just saying, be prepared.
As long as there are parts that are happy, like if Glee Club was ending, however, all of the relationships we want were successful and everybody's moving on and Rachel's on Broadway, whatever it is, if every other storyline has a nice little bow on it and this is the thing that doesn't work out, that's kind of true to life and like showing, you win some, you lose some.
I completely see what you're saying, Roxy, in that, like, and it would also kind of be that end of that chapter, like that it was time for all these characters to move on from the Glee Club, and that is one way of it ending, but I don't want the Glee Club to end. I guess it's my personal thing.
All of us want the Glee Club to end.
Yeah.
Well, Glee Club, the Glee show is very unpredictable. And even if, like let's say they win. Really cool, right? And they'll keep on going on. But, like, if they don't win, then it's, like, something else could happen.
Yeah. I wonder if
you know what I mean? Like, what if something happy happened? My publicist is like, they're like, don't say anything. Don't say anything. I'll bite you. But, no. Well, I feel like another reference to The Bachelor, like, I know who I picked.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, you have all of the answers, but I'm trying to
I'm a great tickle torturer, though, so don't come near me or I might tickle it out of you.
No, I will probably something... You know, I might pee myself. So I didn't know how to say it appropriately.
I will say, in the chat roll, people do want us to get answers out of you, so you're going to have to be tight-lipped.
I know.
They're asking for it.
I will give very neutral answers.
So far, you've been very balanced, I have to say.
I know. I'm trying to read into everything you say, and I've got nothing.
No, I'm, studying my scandal and how to get away with murder. So I'm,
amazing.
I know what's...
He knows what's
how to learn best. I agree.
Well, maybe now's a good time to talk about Sue, and maybe you can give us some insight into Sue.
Yes.
This crazy... I mean, the title of the episode is The Rise and Fall of Sue Sylvester.
She literally just, rises and falls.
She built her character up so much over all these years, so I'm glad the way that they handled it and took her down a peg and took her out and, knocked her down in a very legal way, I think.
I was shocked by this. I mean, I feel like not that much completely knocks me on my butt anymore, and when I watched this for the first time, oh my God. First of all, I can't believe that I actually feel bad for her right now.
I know.
That was the weirdest thing. It's like I've been having this love-hate relationship with her for 6 years, and now when finally this happened, when she got what she deserved, I'm like, ooh, but does she deserve it? I feel weird for even feeling like that.
She cried in the episode, too. Yeah. And, she was very upset. But, when I just saw her crash and burn, when I was reading the script, too, again, I was in the car, and it was, 7 at night, I was reading it, I was like, what? What? Yeah. What? I sounded like an angry Russian woman. I was like, what? What? I was so upset.
Yeah. I get that. I mean, I hurt when we saw the clip of her parents saying that she was a daughter that she couldn't love. I was like, that's a personal connection.
That is
her own family
that's
saying
really
they couldn't
sad.
Stand
she couldn't
her.
Love her.
Right.
Yeah. That is her own family saying that she's not a good person. So that really hit hard.
Yeah. I think that this is a testament to how incredible, and we were all talking about this when watching, how incredible Jane Lynch is.
Yeah.
She is such an unbelievable performer, but just the little expressions in her face as we're doing this, I'm like, how could you not sit here and feel bad for her when she's listening to her own mother say, when she came out, I knew I couldn't love her. She had a whole set of teeth or whatever she said.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a crazy moment to begin with.
Right.
Because you saw her be supportive of her sister. Like, she's had a very complex character over the course of the show in that it's not at times she's been pretty evil, and then at other moments she's been kind and compassionate. So it's a strange moment to be like, let's take Sue down a notch.
It's hard because she's grieving, and I feel like that's her whole character, is just upset, and she does not like herself, and she is very insecure, and she's upset, like I said, and I'm repeating words, but you know what I mean? She's a very sad person, and she takes it out with anger, and a lot of people do this in the real world, is instead of facing their own issues and solving them themselves and really taking the time to see what's wrong with me, how can I fix it, that they just rebel against other people. And
she places her blame elsewhere. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which honestly, it makes me question every interaction we've had with Sue. What is the truth? What is a lie? Is any of it true?
Yeah.
Are we going to see next episode or in 2 episodes that she actually, a lot of the things that came out on the show as lies are truths? What really is going on with Michael Bolton?
That is so confusing. Right? Yeah. Literally, they definitely don't address all of that.
Yeah.
Especially because we literally only have 2 episodes left. But, I'm excited to see that too. I think, how are they going
to
do that?
And then to have Michael Bolton actually say, no, I have no relationships with this woman.
I know. Like,
that's another. And then also Becky.
I know.
She's the most connected to Becky.
That even was crushing.
Becky, yeah.
But I did
her.
Love that scene, but I thought it was funny, actually, the way they executed that scene.
Okay. Oh, Lauren Potter is the sweetest person ever.
Really?
And her name is Lauren, and she's so sweet. And I met her a while ago at, like, the Kids' Choice Awards or something. But, no, she's awesome, and she's, like, so nice. And, like, when I see her scream, she's, like, hilarious. She's a comedian.
It was so funny.
Yeah. I gotta say, I was pretty mad at Becky's character, though. Because I feel like the one person Sue has always stood up for, always had her back, no matter what, is Becky. And I understand why this would upset Becky, but I really felt like she should have tried to talk to Sue and been
right.
And she did have one conversation, but she was like, we're not friends anymore. And I was just thinking, Becky, come on. Like, this is, she's literally been your second mother.
That's what I was about to say. Well, they have such a pseudo mother-daughter relationship. Sorry to interrupt
and
you.
No, definitely. No, it's okay. But, like, you have to take in mind that Becky Jackson, her character, she does have special needs. So when she doesn't process things the way that other people that don't have, you know, the same disability that do process things.
Of course.
And so there is, like, the last straws and, like, that breaks the camel's back, you know what I mean? That really breaks it for people, and because, like, people that don't have, like, a disability, they can, like, digest it and kind of take it in, but I feel like it's her last straw, and she reacts on the note on how she is, and even if she loves her so much, she's like, this is, like, this broke it.
Absolutely, and I thought that the way they portrayed it was very realistic, but that didn't mean, that doesn't make me a little upset with Becky.
Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah, and so I think Becky went about it the right way. And, I mean, her intentions were the more moral, correct ways to go about it, and knowing that, hey, Warbler's school burnt down, let's give them a place to sing and, you know, hone their craft, and then Sue was the one completely against it. So where Becky was coming from was totally in the right.
Also, I think it's a lot about the boyfriend who is teaching her to grow and be more compassionate, as opposed to Sue, who has been kind of her bounce board for the last few years. And when she has an issue, she goes to Sue. Now she has this boyfriend who seems to be morally good, and she probably was talking to him, and he was like, I don't know.
It's kind of like she built her own robot to kill her. You know what I mean? It's like, this is my creation, and one day it will rebel against me. And
she
fell
on her own sword.
I think that would be the only way that Sue could finally look inside herself and realize what she's doing is wrong, would be this quote-unquote robot that she built, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that if anybody's going to get to her, it's going to be Becky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt like everybody's reactions and feelings towards Sue are very justified, but watching them all do that video and speak that way about her was a way of, like, crossing the line, kind of, because she has done, done compassionate things towards them, and even though she has been an enemy, she's been a frenemy to them, so you know what I mean? So it was kind of, that was overstepping, watching every single one of them only say bad things about her. It was sad to watch her watch them do that.
Well, we had two good people say good things about her.
Yeah.
Beast, and then also Will says, yeah, she deserves a second chance. She might be a horrible person, but she deserves a second chance.
We all knew Will would be the one to still be.
Well, yeah, but this whole episode's theme is about second chances.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, I know we've talked about it before on our show, about Becky's boyfriend. Good influence or bad influence?
Great influence.
Good.
I don't think we've seen a single second of him being anything but a good influence.
Yeah.
I mean, good.
Who knows if he completely flips on a dime or whatever, then I will think otherwise, but so far, so good.
In the episode that they introduced him, he really just neutralized the whole fact that everybody was crazy thinking about that someone with a disability can't have, like, a lover or, like, be in a relationship with someone that it doesn't have a disability.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he came into the show perfectly. And my brother has special needs, so I loved how they did that perfectly and how they showed that you're the wrong person for, even though you think you're protecting her and that you're helping her, really you're not. You're being wrong, and you should accept others in that there is good in people, and that we should see all the good in people. And I feel like that's what that episode portrayed.
Yeah.
It's almost that she found a new support system in him, and that's why she can stand up to Sue. That's kind of the way that I feel like she...
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's
a good idea. It's like someone else who was the more, the better voice for her to stand up.
Yeah, like, knew her and understood. Like, she's been really upfront and honest with him throughout their entire relationship, at least from what we've seen.
Right. Which I think is great, and you know, everybody needs a support system somehow. And without having this boyfriend, maybe she never would have been able to step away from Sue. And we don't know what kind of path she would have gone down being Sue's sidekick always.
Yeah.
Scary to think about.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I always appreciated that relationship between her and Sue, but you do eventually need to be your own person. And maybe that's what we're seeing is that first step of her finding her own way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So the other thing I wanted to mention with Sue is, can we talk about the creepy dolls? And we saw your creepy doll, creepy doll of your character,
creepy,
I should say.
Yeah,
yeah. Really creepy.
Yeah, they screened the episode where Kurt and Blaine got stuck in an elevator while we were filming on set. So on our lunch break, we got to watch it. And it was so hilarious, but so creepy. That thing literally scared me. My friend made me see Annabelle, and I was, like, literally scared for days. It was honestly so scary. And so when I saw, like, the doll, and when I was reading the script, I was like, but that is so creepy and so odd and very disturbing.
I have to say, I mean, I don't know if you heard me say it as we were walking in here, but every show I cover here has creepy dolls, and I just want it to stop. Like, I just...
Yeah, no, it's insane. I don't get creepy. I just, it scares me.
It's so scary. And see, that was the reason that I could see, like, the result was really sad, having all those videos of, because she's been kind at times, but the result, I was like, oh yeah, if you found a creepy closet of a prince, like, you would, obviously, this
that
would
is
be
really,
the result.
Yeah, I feel like if I saw a creepy doll coming towards me, I would, like, shoot it. Like, I would just be like, back off! If I owned a gun, I can't even get pepper spray. I'm like, Mom, I need protection.
That's amazing.
From creepy dolls.
Yeah. This is why everyone should take self-defense classes, kids.
Yeah. We'll do it right here at AfterBuzz.
Yeah.
We'll give you the address.
I mean,
come here, children.
I think we've already agreed to sing a song, so now we're really edging towards some greatness here. Songs and self-defense.
Yeah, we're debating doing our own version of Don't Stop Believin'.
Yes.
Debating.
Hoping that it's not going to happen.
It's gonna cover your ears.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have to let us know what you're thinking. Of course, you can go on YouTube, iTunes, rate, comment, let us know what you're thinking about the show, songs you want to hear. Our performance questions for JJ. As I mentioned, we have a special segment coming up. So lots to talk about. Use the hashtag ABTVGlee.
I have something to say from the chat before we completely leave the topic of Sue and Becky.
Yes.
So Dylan Christie says, it broke Sue's heart when Becky turned against her. Do you guys think that's true, or do you feel like it didn't affect
her? Yes, totally.
Yeah.
I totally think that's true. Becky's, like, the only person that was her only friend, really. I mean,
yeah, when she threw that little doll onto the fire, I was like, don't burn that one. Hold on to that one. Stop it, Sue. It, like, hurt me for her.
But do you guys feel like she should have already approached Becky to talk to her, or do you think we just haven't seen it yet and she will approach her? Or there will be no approaching at all, and she's just...
I think they'll talk.
I think they'll definitely have a resolve, because that relationship has been built for years.
Yeah.
So they can't just end it. Because I feel the way Becky just, in a way, turned against Sue,
I'm, like, trying
so
to remember the script. I'm like,
I know, I'm watching your face as you're, like, over there thinking. I'm like, what's he thinking?
I'm like, what? I don't... Hopefully they do. I'm, like, trying to remember. It was very hard, rigorous, like, 2 months. So I, like, everything just went, like, by, like... So I'm, like, trying to remember. I don't... Yeah, but hope... Yeah. But maybe they don't. Maybe their relationship will never...
No,
never
don't
happen
say
again.
It.
Or maybe they
so
will.
Sad.
Maybe it'll be... a happy relationship as I move on.
Maybe you have all the answers.
I mean, you do have all the answers.
This is true.
We know this.
On the encyclopedia.
I know. But what did you think about Rachel? And this storyline, we kind of got a taste of it. I feel like there's more to come.
Yeah.
With this move to New York, Niata versus Broadway versus, like, staying at McKinley. And there's a part of me... I know I always say that I want her to go and live her big Broadway dreams, but there's a part of me that still wants her at McKinley. I don't know. It's hard for me. It's hard.
You don't need to move on, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you can honestly, like, literally not stay at a school for 6 years. Like, there's, like, think about real life. My sister is, like, in college now. Mm-hmm. And, like if I feel like if she stayed at her school for 6 years, she would be, like, dead. Because, like, it's, like, so much work and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I feel like people need to move on. And we need to see new chapters of the lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that a lot of Rachel staying at McKinley has to do with Finn and has to do with the fact that she felt like Finn was going to be a teacher there, and he was working with the Glee Club, and she thinks that there's, like, she owes it to them in some respect. She hasn't said that out loud, but I really get that vibe. And just for her own sanity, I need her to move on at some point.
Agreed. Yeah.
Whether that is Niada or that is Broadway, I have very mixed opinions on. But I do think she needs to get back to New York one way or another.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I agree. She needs to go to New York and, like, leave the past behind her. But my problem with Rachel's tonight was, like, her being so dismissive of all the options that she had right before her. Like, she finally got the Broadway thing, but then she quickly dismissed Niada. I was like, no, you keep all your options open. Beggars can't be choosers.
She's really, like, oh, I'm sorry. Continue. What were you saying?
Well, I was just, like, how many times have we seen her beg Carmen Thibodeau?
Yeah.
There is no more chances after that. If she go to Niada, she's never going to have that again.
Yeah. Of course.
And what you're going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, like, she's just like a normal teenager, like me too. I'm like, oh my God, I want to do this. Wait, no, I don't want to do that. Wait, I want to do this. Or I want to do this. Yeah.
See, I'm like nostalgic for Glee in some ways, so I want her at McKinley where we saw her in the pilot, but in real life, in like an understanding of
she was your friend.
Well, maybe she will. Maybe she's going to end up there. Maybe something will happen.
Yeah.
Or maybe she'll never go back there again, and it'll be really sad, but
please
she's going to move
stop.
On.
It's a lot of people in the chat right now are saying that they wanted to go back to Niada, and I understand where they're coming from and where Sam's coming from,
right.
But I do have to say, as somebody who's dreamed of being a performer, it's such a hard call when you have another opportunity. You don't know when you're going to get an opportunity like this again. So I know that the first time it didn't go well when she left Niada and she decided to do the Broadway show and film a TV show and everything was flopping. But honestly, I can't say that I would advise her to turn down a Broadway show.
No. See, and again, in reality versus Glee world, we talk about this all the time, like, you can defer for a year of college, and that would be what I would encourage her to do.
Well, is this a Broadway show, or is it off-Broadway?
It might be off-Broadway, but it is a show in New York, and I think it doesn't really make that big of a difference.
No, it doesn't. I was just wondering from my own personal
family. I don't think they said.
I know, it really doesn't matter. I don't even know why I asked that. I just wasted screen time.
It's interesting that you said that, because when we were watching, I thought that too. I was thinking, huh, I wonder why they haven't said what exactly this is.
Is it a random?
Yeah.
But they did say who was producing it, I think.
Russell Simmons.
So, I don't know.
I do, yeah, there's a part of me that feels like college is super important and you should go and study, and I get where Sam is coming from. And then the other side of it is that in reality, you could defer college for a year, try the play, make it work. I think you could do both possibly. Like, there's
but
a lot of options.
She tried that already. Yeah. She did try that.
Exactly.
And she failed, as we saw in the episode of season 6.
Well,
she was on the Paramount lot on her show, and they said,
Also, I think it's just Rachel was too ambitious the first time. And I think now that she does have her second chance, maybe she should just go back to Niada and do what she was supposed to be doing. Like, go the right direction and take
maybe
it step by
will.
Step.
If we're going full
build
circle,
a foundation.
If we are going full circle, though, Pretty Duchess 17 in the chat said, Rachel's dream from season 1 was to be a big Broadway star, so she needs to go back to that. And I will say, I don't disagree, but I also think that going to Niada is a good choice, so I'm very torn.
I wanted to ask, though, why do we think Sam is so gung-ho on her going to Niada rather than taking the play? Does he just not want to see her fail again?
He's a very... He's a very odd character, and not by the way he looks or talks or acts. It's just his character. It's like, it's always there. Like, you know Phoebe from Friends?
Yes.
They're always like the come ditzy kind of like, just brings light to the show. But at the same time, like, Phoebe gets real. Even if it's funny, like, they just know. So it's almost this kind of like alienated human. They just came from this random earth, other known as a woman. And but it's just this very weird person, but they just know the life. And it's just my hands motions are probably freaking people out right now. But you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like his character just knows what's right for her and wants the best for her.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good point. And it's interesting to me that if you if you told me that of Mercedes, Kurt, Blaine, Sam, one of them was going to push for her to go back to school, I wouldn't think it'd be Sam necessarily at first. But when you actually look at Sam's history, he does do this a lot. Like JJ was talking about, he sometimes can be ditzy or whatever, but then he really gets down to the root of things very often.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid, though, that partly he wants her to go to school instead of do Broadway as a way of, like, still holding on to her and knowing that they are more compatible if she's not this huge success.
I don't see it at all as him clinging on to that relationship. Oh. I see it as more just building who she is, building her foundation and her craft, because yes, this may be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do this particular Broadway, but once she graduates school and whatnot, she has so many productions to choose and audition to. Yeah. And she's so talented, she can easily get another production.
So that was my other question, though. Is it that he doesn't want to see her be successful, as you're saying, or is he afraid of too much success too fast and her failing again? I can see it going either way in terms of why his character's doing it, and I feel like we didn't really get a clear motivation yet.
What if we should question his authenticity? Yeah. Like, I'm bringing back The Bachelor, but maybe he has something on Rachel, and then he wants her to go to the college because of something. What's happening?
Now you guys thinking.
Yeah.
I'm from the
being
chat.
Sneaky
maybe,
over there.
Maybe he has another girl in his life.
Oh, stop it. Too much.
Maybe.
I want to hear that.
I wanted to say from the chat,
though,
be
possible.
Gleeks V says, anyone pissed that they cut the scene with Rachel and Matt and Thibodeau?
Yes.
They didn't cut it.
So, exactly.
So, I'm here. Yeah, I will tell you. They didn't cut the scene. There was a snow blockage within the communities of the country that we call America. And Madame Thibodeau, who was played by Whoopi Goldberg, couldn't fly from the snow into America. No, California.
Into America.
I don't know. That's why I'm an actor. No, but yeah, so that's why. They didn't cut it. There's really nothing to it. They just didn't. She couldn't get there.
I was at least glad that she was referenced in this season.
Yeah.
So I am happy that we got to see her go there. Of course, anytime I can see Whoopi, I want to see Whoopi.
Yeah. No, reading the script, she had a lot of scenes, like, in a lot of dialogue as well.
Hmm.
And I wanted to see Whoopi, too. I mean, I was on set. I need to get my screen time with Whoopi. So, but
maybe we'll see her in the next couple episodes.
Show.
Maybe
we will, or maybe we won't.
I love
profound.
I love how Whoopi wasn't even physically there, but she has still such a presence.
Yeah,
that's how great her character
Whoopi.
Was.
Also, I have to mention, speaking about people that we actually did see, everybody is blowing up in the chat right now about the fact that we haven't mentioned Joe Hart.
I know.
Just appear. She cut my dreadlocks.
She cut my dreadlocks. I rebounded. Oh my god, Jesus is on the show.
Yeah. That's the thing about Glee. So they're like this kind of like Brita filter that just filters out old and new people.
Oh my god.
But then like everything always comes back. Like when you go to the sewer, no, I don't want to describe it like that. They're not going to be kicked in the sewer when they're off the show. But I mean, when I'm not on the show, I feel like I'm in the sewer because it's kind of depressing because I'm like, I'm not with Glee. Even though
so
it's
you
like,
love being on
it's
it.
Over. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. And I feel like everybody does too, but I feel like it's all a cycle of people. They just keep on bringing all these people back. And
we love them.
They bring back
Joe. You're
going to
see a lot of closure.
I was going to say, Marissa, you were a big fan.
I loved Joe. And then when I saw him, I was like,
he's there. Watcher of the show.
He did the Glee project.
He said one line, but he's there.
Yeah, I know.
So
although I would have loved to see him break into song.
Yes.
Yes.
I know you would have.
Maybe he'll get a number. Maybe. You'll never
Rory,
see him again.
Your ability to stay balanced through an interview is incredible.
Wait, but I'm scared, like, what if this is the last time we're going to see him?
I know. Oh, I'm scared, too.
Yeah. No, he best be in the finale.
All of them.
I don't know.
I want everyone back in the finale. I feel like I want, if you had 2 seconds on screen in Glee, I want you there. I want, like, everyone packed on that stage.
Right. Right. Bring back Rory.
We literally want a 400-person song. Like,
yes.
That's
yes.
the kind of chorus we're looking for.
But Glee can do that.
I wish I could. Okay, never mind. it's so hard, but I'm not going to say anything because you might not get what you want, but you also might get what you want. But the song, you don't always get what you want.
I'm totally calling you after the finale.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I know. I'm like, you need to come and hang out with us and tell us everything after the finale.
Yeah, I will say this. You girls are very intuitive, but also you might be tripping a little bit.
Yeah.
we get in our minds.
Might be tripping.
We have delusions of grandeur. I will say that.
Now now I feel like we are tripping.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like we're really just looking at this so intensely, and yeah, maybe we're just not seeing the bigger picture yet.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, it's
stressful.
I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah.
Adam but Mobley wants you to know that Myron needs more solo songs.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I feel that.
It's amazing.
The show is over. Well, not yet. There's two more episodes left. But thank you for saying that. I had so much fun doing that one solo song. And then they told me that I was like the youngest person to ever have a solo.
I know.
And that was really cool. Oh, continue.
No, I was just
going to
say.
Talk.
Thank you. When I was doing research on you, that is what I found out. You are the youngest. That's amazing.
So that
Congrats on that.
That was really cool. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I will, but maybe I won't. But I'm still going to be a part of this song.
Did that excite you, knowing that you were the youngest person, or did you feel a lot of pressure? Or
no, I was really excited. I mean, when I like being when I'm not like being challenged, or if I'm not having a stress on me, it's not a good day for me. Like, I need to be challenged. I need to have something. So I'm always like, I need to do it. And if I'm not being challenged at least once a day, something's up, and it's the sign of the apocalypse. So yeah, no, but that was fun. Thank you. Who said that?
Oh, no, that was a personal question. I was just curious.
No, but thank you. Who said the thing about the solo? So
oh,
I can
Adam
thank
Lockley.
Him.
Adam Lockley.
Thank you, Mr. Lockley.
Yeah. Now, were you a fan of that particular song? And
Lose My Breath came out in, like, early 2000s, which is not, like, a while ago. Mm-hmm. I was just, like, 6 or 5 or... Yeah. So I wasn't like that into like pop music.
And how old do we feel right now?
And, like, well, I mean, no, you know what I mean. But like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it was like the pop music. I wasn't that into it. But once I saw it, I like got so into it. And I knew Cool Kids and obviously Break Free by Ariana Grande. Mm-hmm. And I hope Ari liked it. So Ari, please tweet me if you can.
Obsessed.
That's kind of
I love
and Beyonce that. Too. I mean, I wouldn't mind a tweet from you. But
just ask for them all. Just go for it. It's
yeah,
all good.
No.
Let's jump into what we've been talking about, the songs of tonight. I feel like now's a good, or a Friday night, I should say. We started out with Rather, which is a Clean Bandit song.
Yes.
And you were amazing in
thank
it.
Thank you. Yeah. I was in the, it took my voice for the last chorus, mm-hmm. and it's always cool to see it because everybody reports the same thing and they just like pick and choose. I was it was in the last chorus, but in iTunes, you guys should buy me on iTunes. That's my plug. I'm gonna take it anyway. Gotta make that green.
Oh,
on iTunes, I do have my like solo part in Rather Be. Yeah. So, Mr. Lockley, if you want my solo, it's in Rather Be. It's a short little thingy.
You're not the only one in the chat who wants your solo, by the way. You got a lot of fans in here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Sure. No, but when I've been a fan of that song since the beginning, like before it was like not even that popular. Like my sister played it. She's like, there's this person and it's a human. And I was like, what, really? No, I wasn't. But and then she was like, and like this song. And so we listened to it. I was like, oh, it's so good. And so I did it on Fan Lala, which is like a little YouTube thing that I do. And we talked about, you know, Hot topics and stuff like that. And then they were like, you're so weird. We don't even know what that song is. They thought it was really weird. I was like, you're weird. This song's going to blow up. Blah, blah, blah. So when I saw it in the script, I was like,
you're like, this is perfect. It's made for me.
I was like, yes. I was like, I can rest now.
And so, fun number, long day filming or pretty fun?
They usually take 6 to 9.5 hours to film. And so, yeah, so they're the whole day. But it was fun number. I mean, when we get tired, we just, like, it's fun. But they all work so hard. I mean, we're obviously not singing live.
Yeah.
Because that would be technically impossible.
And very difficult. Yeah.
We do have to sing. We don't just lip sing. We don't just go.
The chat wants to know when Mason pulled you back, was that scripted?
It wasn't in the script, but like I said, that season 6 was all about unity. My character came in with the bang and was like the star of why. At least I thought I was the star. Not me, not JJ. Oh no, that would sound so bad, Laura. Take that back. But my character thought that he was the star of the show. I'm gonna be very calm now. That he was the star of the show, and so I feel like season 6 is about unity. So the director came up to us and told us to do that, and basically, or no, the choreographer, and just said, we're going to show that you have now joined the group and this character is now a part of the group and that they all have to learn to work together and it's not just Myron is the star.
I love that they've been throwing in those little moments in the performances. Yeah. Of you, like, trying to take the spotlight and then pulling them.
But in, like, in the first episode, at the end of the first episode, when we sang Break Free and, like, Marshall and Billy lifted us up, that one was not, that wasn't, like, planned at all. We just, I said, like, lift me. And they said, okay. No, that's not what happened. They're like, what if we do that? And they were like, yeah, that would be cool. But then we end up doing that again, or it might be, like, a time. Maybe I should stop talking.
It's a collaborative process, though, and that sounds great.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Myron in the air.
Yeah, I love it.
Great. I'm excited for that. And I just, yeah, thought that number was great. But let's talk about the Trolley song. And this is the cast of Meet Me in St. Louis.
Marissa was going crazy.
Yeah. I love the song.
So I am not super familiar with this musical, so I really liked it,
though.
Yeah,
that was that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I just love Carol Burnett. I was like, yes!
Carol
yes.
Burnett, and she looks so nice. Like, I deeply enjoy, this may sound weird, like older people, and she's not even that old, but, like, and they just sell it. Like, someone like Madonna, and that's, absolutely. Maybe not Madonna, I mean, she goes really far, but, like, I don't judge Madonna. Everybody's like, she's too old to dance. But anyway, like, watching Carol Burnett, and she was just selling it with her arms and her long cardigan. She was just, like, doing it.
I know.
And I was like...
Get a girl.
Yeah. I'm completely obsessed with the two.
Right?
I thought that this was really nice because I love when they do. I'm a big musical theater person, and I love when they throw in songs like this. And so I thought it was really cool and so self aware as Glee is to be like, "What? We're just gonna you want to sing a song about this or whatever?" And then they break into it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the thing, because Glee is so real. And if you guys, I mean, you probably watched that episode. Everybody watched that episode. You all did. they like mentioned that. Like, she's like, Jane Lynch's character is like, I will destroy the Glee Club once and for all. And Will is like, you've said that like 1,000 times already. And I like that because they just address what everybody else is thinking.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they're like, how do people just break in a song and know all the lyrics?
Yeah.
We don't know.
I mean, also, it added just a little background to Sue, knowing that even at a younger age, she never liked musicals. And then Glee came around, she hated it already. So it was like, okay, I can understand where Sue's coming from.
And she has a great voice.
Yes, Jane, exactly. Yeah. And then also just singing with her mother and, you know, just making those amends with her mom was a winning for Sue.
Right. We're learning more about Sue, that she wasn't loved as a kid, that she didn't like musicals and all these things.
I think we're finally getting the reasons why she kind of is the way she is now.
Absolutely.
Like, I think you're finally getting those puzzle pieces, and that's really nice because you kind of had inklings of that, but it's finally becoming really clear now. And Far From Over, which is the vocal adrenaline number of the night.
This was so much fun.
Yeah, I loved it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I liked it too.
It was so much fun, and the outfits and the pump up, and I was like, oh my god, I would just die if I had to perform this because
so energetic.
Out of shape.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Cool.
I didn't get to watch it, but I mean, when I saw it on the show, I mean, I got to watch the show, obviously, but I didn't get to watch it live, but I liked it.
That was
it was
awesome.
Fun.
It just seemed like so tough to film. Like, that's what I was impressed with was just when this like their ability to get it done and this high energy number was impressive.
I like the red and blue, and they look like they were really working out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, they are. I mean, it's hard work.
And I want to mention quickly the final countdown. It wasn't officially like a number in the episode, I guess, but
no, it was.
They didn't list it on the list
on
I
iTunes.
Had. They sang that whole song.
Yeah,
on iTunes.
I guess it was just a list that I had of songs, and they didn't include it.
It was on iTunes, and it was definitely a number. I just thought that this was peed myself a little bit listening to this for the first time. Yeah. Watching them in their own dream world, and then what we were actually seeing, and Rachel, and all of them standing, all of you guys standing there, being like, oh my god, they've totally lost it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that this was incredible. Like, the best ever.
It was like this fantasy kind of whole dream kind of thing. And when I was reading it, I was like, I totally get this, but so many people are going to be confused. And I got so many comments like, wait, I was so are they like, do they have an illness? Are they showing like, because like Ryan Murphy created American Horror Story, so we're like, is this all a dream? Is it Glee all a dream? I'm like, seriously, people, calm the heck down. Like, honestly, like, nothing is wrong. Like, it was like a fantasy moment. They thought they were doing this. Anyway, yeah, so that's what happened. So thank you for getting that.
I did get it. I loved it.
The wigs. wigs good. Made everything.
Like, I couldn't tell which one was better than the other.
Brad had a wig, too. I was like, alright.
I know. I die for Brad.
I was so excited about Sue's wig, and then I saw Will's wig, and I was just like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. Alright. And then Rise, which I have to mention, is...
See you, baby.
My favorite... I think my favorite of the night, one of my favorites, for sure. And it's a Darren Criss original we mentioned at the top of the show. So exciting to see a cast member write a number for the show.
This is why it was so cool. It's because as the character is watching he's watching them, Blaine's seeing all of this happen, and he's so proud because of his character. But then Darren Criss, the actor, must be really proud because he's watching his own work, like, come to life. So it was really cool.
And Darren didn't even know, too, that it was going to be in it until the whole cast got the script.
Oh, my
God.
Like,
he didn't even know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll let him tell his story. But apparently, he kind of showed a person that worked in there, like, his songs and stuff, and then he just saw it in the script. So.
Oh, so
we saw it in the script, too. We're like, by Darren Criss. So I looked it up on iTunes, because obviously, like, when we get our numbers, I kind of, like, look it up, because I want to hear it, because it's usually the next day, or even a couple hours that we're recording it, so I'm like, what is it? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and then it wasn't there. I was like, oh my god, I freaking out. Can't find it. They're like, oh, it's never been there. They're recording his version the next day. So we're like,
oh my god.
So we could chill for a day, but still.
Yeah, I'm saying that Darren also wrote a song for the finale, so that's exciting.
Yeah. And he's just a great songwriter.
I didn't know if I could say that. But
the fans know.
Fans are predicting, I guess.
There you go. Look at
that. And let's jump into our special segment with JJ.
Woo!
Love it. All right, so I wanted to ask you first off about how you got the part. You made it from fan to performer, which I think is really exciting for people. How did you do that?
I was like, this sounds really odd, but like I was like in the car. I don't know what I was doing, but I was like craving Panda Express. So we were like driving. My mom and I were like driving up to Panda Express. And I was like, God, I gotta get some jelly. And so then when we got there, my mom was like, okay. I have to tell you something. You can't freak out. Don't freak out. And I was like, what, Mom? Like, what's going on? I want Panda Express. And then she's like, I'm not that rude. No, but, and then she's like, you have an audition for Glee. I was like, oh my God. I freaked out. I was so excited. I looked at the sides. Then it said, like, next day appointment. I was like, oh Lord. And then it said, prepare two songs, one Broadway, one pop. And be prepared for, like, everything. I was like, oh, Lord. So, like, we rushed in to get our Panda Express, and immediately I'm on my iPhone. I'm, like, memorizing the lines, and I'm like, gotta get this down. By the time I got home, my lines were already memorized, and I was standing, like, right in front of the couch doing my things. When I'm, like, aspired to do something, it will get done. Like, honestly.
People want to know what songs you picked.
Yes, I will.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. It's a whole long story. All right, so, yeah. No, but I'll hurry up. Don't worry. So, like, we did it, and I practiced it, and we're like, what songs am I going to do? And one song, my go-to stuff, because it said, pick songs that kind of admire or, like, that are portray the character. And I was like, my go-to songs, Born This Way, because, like, my character was born that way. No matter you judge him or not. And I was born this way, too. You were born this way. You were born this way. Roxy was born that way. So I was like, I gotta do this. And then I was like, I love Broadway shows. And when I went to New York, now I have an accent. When I went to New York, and we saw Chicago, and I love Chicago my whole life. So then I did all that jazz from Chicago.
Yes.
And I did that. But then when I got there, they're like, okay, you're learning a dance. So I was like, what? Like, what? And they're like, okay, I'm going to teach you the dance. I'm like, now? Like, right, okay. And so she, like, did the dance, and we, like, did it, like, twice. I was like, wait, what? Twice? And then we went into the hallway, and, like, I did my dance, and then, like, this guy was, like, doing it with me. I was like, oh, hey, what up? And then I was like, okay, I'm going to, like, trying to go. I wanted to be nice. I was like, because, like, when I need to focus, I need to, like, I can't have any distractions. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, not in a mean way.
No.
It's just, like, I need to try to focus. So that I kept him, like, trying to, like, walk through the hallway kindly. I was like, and then he just kind of, like, started following me, and all the other people started following me. It's like, so then I ended up going, like walking straight down the hallway all the way to the right in between, like, these bathrooms. So, like, there's, like, a little hallway and then women's and then men's. And so I was just dancing in that little area by myself, and I was like, you can do this. You can do this. Like, set your mind to it. It was very, like, Breakfast Club moment. I was just like, you know what I mean? And then I did it, and then I hopped on a plane to Florida the next day for an event, and then I found out, like, that next day, before I was about to go on stage, that I booked it.
That's screaming. Awesome.
And awesome. Needless to say, there were like several complaints at the hotel because my voice was screaming so loud.
That's amazing. And I want to do quick fire, like one or two word answers with
okay.
you.
For, yeah. I know. I won't talk that long.
Again. No, no.
That's your nice way of saying, yeah, shut up.
No. We always do quick words.
No, I know. It's totally fine. I was just kidding.
Favorite Myron moment on Glee. Has it aired yet?
Oh, no, not yet. It airs this coming episode.
Stay tuned.
Yes, this coming, it's probably the most craziest thing you're going to ever see. So you should definitely, like, honestly, it's insane. Like, it's insane.
Favorite Glee moment overall as a fan or as you've been on the show?
Like, behind the scenes or on?
On the show. Like, something that fans have seen.
Something that fans have seen. Probably when... I'm like trying to think. Probably like the last episode, like the very last scene in the last episode.
I can't wait. Okay,
yeah, it's the best.
You're leaving us with so many cliffhangers. I know. It's crazy. Any other questions, or should we? I think we're gonna hold off on news and gossip till next week.
Okay.
And
well, one fan question because we've been asking from the chat really quick. From Demalis Torres wants to know if you could sing one more song. What would be your farewell song?
For Glee?
Yeah, maybe like, a favorite song.
Like what? Well, there was speculation during it that I was going to be rapping as Nicki Minaj for Bang Bang.
Oh, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, so...
I'm looking forward to anything you have coming up.
Yeah, so that was going to... Yeah. I don't know, but, and then, yeah, so I don't know, but, like, yeah, so that would be cool.
No, I'm so excited about everything. You've left us with so many questions, but I'm super excited about everything. We're going to do news and gossip and predictions next week because we are running out of time here in the studio. But thank you so much for watching, and thank you, JJ,
course,
for coming in.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, and, yes, big cheers. Find AfterBuzz on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV, and you can find me at Stephanie Wanger.
And you all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TheHotShotDude.
And you can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
I'm at Roxy Stryer, and thanks, guys, for joining us on the chat today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Goodbye. Where can we find you?
Oh, you can find me on Instagram at TheJJToda and Twitter and Facebook at JJToda.
Fantastic. See you next Monday at 4.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, please.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.